All right, let's call this meeting to order. This would be the April 3rd, 2017 meeting of the Kenai Peninsula Borough School District Board of Education. And I'd like to invite all present to stand and join us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Holt, district mission statement?
The mission of the Kenai Peninsula Borough School District is to develop productive, responsible citizens who are prepared to be successful in a dynamic world.
Thank you, sir. Mrs. Stresser, would you call the roll?
Mr. Dusick?
Here.
Mr. Anderson?
He's excused.
Mr. Castmore?
Present.
Ms. Hull?
Here.
Mr. Holt?
Here.
Mr. Ilg?
Here.
Mr. Kelly?
Mr. Kelly?
Here.
Mr. Navarre?
Here.
Mrs. Vadla?
Present.
Mr. Ernest?
Here. You have before you the agenda for this evening. Are there any additions, corrections? Mr. Navarre?
I would like to add, under 11C, a letter to the legislature on education funding.
And that is adding it as item 11C.
As 11C, correct. Right. Adding it, a letter to be sent to the legislature on education funding.
Okay.
Second.
Thank you, Mr. Holt. Is there any objection to that? Should probably do a, we will do a vote on this, Mrs. Stressler.
Mm-hmm. Voting is open.
Mr. Dusick, advisory vote?
Yes.
Thank you. Okay, now I have to go somewhere else to vote. Right?
Is it not showing on your screen?
Not showing on mine.
Okay. Give me a minute. We'll see why.
Question. This is just to put it on the agenda, correct?
This is just to make your addition.
Okay.
Oh, that's why, because you don't have an item.
No, I have an item.
Do you do?
Mm-hmm. It's the silliest thing. Okay, stand by.
Nobody's present at the vote.
How about now?
Hmm?
How about now?
There you go.
All right.
No, that's approved agenda as revised.
Mm-hmm.
Is there an objection to Mr. McNavar's proposed change going on to the agenda? That's not the question you're being asked here.
I know.
The
motion is to add an item to the agenda.
Okay.
We don't need to have you go through all those hoops. We can just, is there an objection?
Okay.
Seeing no objection, then the motion is to approve the agenda as revised. That is what's on your screen.
Right.
Correct?
Well, it was. Mine's gone now.
Mine's
and I
here.
Didn't vote.
Do you want me to call it out loud?
I've got it.
Are you okay?
Does everybody else have it?
Mrs. Vadla and Mr. Arnest need to vote.
I could request unanimous consent again.
So we have to vote because we have people on the phone.
Mrs. Vadla hasn't voted.
Pardon me?
Mrs. Vadla hasn't voted.
Mrs. Vadla hasn't voted?
Well, this says approval of agenda. Do I approve of agenda or do I approve to the addition of an item on the agenda?
What you're approving is the agenda as of revised.
Oh, okay.
For those in the audience who are wondering just what it is that's happening here, this is a new system to us, and so we're working our way through the glitches, so please bear with us a little bit. Mr. O'Brien, laughter is not an acceptable response. Okay, we have a unanimous vote to approve the agenda. We also have the minutes from our last meeting. Are there any additions, corrections, deletions to those? Seeing none, I need a motion to approve.
I move to approve the minutes.
Second.
Thank you, Ms. Hull. Is there any discussion? Mrs. Tressler, would you open the vote? Mr. Dusick, advisory vote?
Yes.
Voting is open. Everyone's voted.
Are we waiting for someone?
Waiting for someone? No, everyone's voted. I'm just waiting for the...
Oh, you're waiting for the machine?
Mm-hmm.
I guess.
There we go.
Okay. Motion is approved. We have no awards and presentations scheduled for this evening. School reports. Mr. Whip. Mr. Whip is not here. Tim's going to do it? Oh, he's on. Oh, he's on. Okay.
District office personnel, community members, and KPDSD librarians. I'm Tim Whip, regional principal of Redesdolma and Kachemak Sewell Schools. Thank you for this opportunity to present the unique aspects of the schools via Skype. To begin with, I'd like to thank the staff members that will be leading Kachemak Sewell and Redesdolma this year. Michelle Stanger for 25 years of teaching down here at Kachemak Sewell. Nicole McKinney, who has been here for 3 years teaching language arts and social studies. And then Greg Carroll for his time down here as the SPED resource teacher. I'll fill you in a little bit about Kachemak Sewell, and that's where I am right now. And then Laura Murphy will tell you about Redesdolma, where she is. I'll be brief, as the videos the students produced are far more interesting than what I have to say. The staff and students of Redesdolma and Kachemak Sewell have been collaborating and teaming up much more over the last 2 years. The combined activities include a SEED grant, which sent our middle school and high school students across the bay to Jackalock Bay. Then we have beach and road cleanups down here in Kachemak Sewell. We clean the beach once a month on just before the really high tides. We also have a community lantern night down in Kachemak Sewell, and that's where you have some of the paper lanterns, and we light those, and they go up by probably about 100, 150 of them, and you can see them from Bosnesenka and Redesdolma and probably any plane that's trying to fly over. We provided a week-long swimming lessons for all of our students at both schools, and that was provided, funded by Migrant Education and community donations. A goal of both of our schools is to enhance our Russian program, and to do this, we're using the dual language system. 2 years ago, two staff members from Kachemak Sewell went down to the dual language conference and brought back the information to the rest of the staff, where we're implementing it at both Redesdolma and Kachemak Sewell. And dual language is a way that you can teach content in both Russian and in English. And then after you finish the units, then you bring the two languages together in what they call a bridging units. So you get both Russian and English content. Mr. Vlasak has a couple of videos that were produced by the students and staff down here. Nicole McKinney basically put together the one from Kachemak Sewell. And the last minute and a half of it is a ride down the switchbacks with Arena White, who's our ELL tutor. And this is a trip we have staff members make every day, in fact, twice a day. So after that, then Laura will present for Redesdolma. So I hope you enjoy it.
Okay. Tim, if you'd mute just to make sure we don't have kickback.
Yep.
This is what our village looks like from a hill. The brown building is where I land.
You are the brown! No!
I have one more year of school left and planning to become a baker in the future. Baking is fun and entertaining, and you get to work with art because decorating is art.
I like to study medieval times and building the castles. I learned a lot about it and got a good grade on the vocabulary test.
On a few occasions, we went swimming to the Homer pool, and I learned how to not drown. I fish a lot, so I have to know how to swim in case I go overboard. Once I like to swim, it's like oxygen for me, you know?
Our elementary class went to the big club to take swimming lessons for the whole week. It was so fun.
I was learning about family.
I went to sewing class for 2 years on Mondays and Wednesdays after school. I learned how to sew patterns and keep tools that I can now sew for every living.
I liked shading art the most. I learned that if you shade at the right spot and shade it enough, it will be 3D-like.
What I like about free choice reading is that it lets me read at my own pace.
The best part of free choice reading is Read to Partner because it helps me read out loud.
I like that I get to do what I love during free choice time, which is read. And while doing that, I learn new words and get to talk about why I love a certain book so much and how it may connect to my life.
The name of this book is called The Fighting Ground by Abby. This book takes place during the Revolutionary War in Pennsylvania. One day there was a boy named Jonathan. He always wanted to be like his brother. His brother was a soldier and died in the war. One day Jonathan joined the army. On day 30, Hessians marched their way. The Americans got in position and started firing. Jonathan's father's friend died. Jonathan decided he didn't want to be a soldier anymore because it was too terrifying for him. The Hessians beat the Americans. Jonathan started running and tripped and got captured. Jonathan sees fire as he walked through the forest. He finds a troop of Americans and the soldiers get Jonathan to tell where the Hessians are hiding. He led the Americans to the house where Hessians are sleeping. Then the Americans killed them while they are asleep. What we learned about history. Innocent people were killed during the Revolutionary War. There were Hessian soldiers and German hired by the British to fight. Some colonists, the soldiers, were very young teenagers. Colonists used guerrilla tactics to win the battles.
We made a Russian show for the parents about families.
That was so cool.
I remember when I presented about the climate change. I feel like I am learning on how to better present and not be afraid of my audience watching me.
My cousin Susanna and her younger high schoolers were making science experiences. Susanna was making an experiment about water versus aspirin. She finds the two plants, she pours the one with water and the other with aspirin. The one she poured with aspirin died.
Thank you.
Sarah Madison, and I'm in first grade. My family is big because we have a lot of kids. I have three brothers, and I have two sisters. My family likes to swim. It's so fun.
My name is Ryan Rufus. I'm in kindergarten. My family is small because I have two sisters, but I don't have any brothers. My family likes to swim on the hotel. My dad will try to fish. We like to go to fishing.
Families, all kinds of families. Mothers and fathers, sisters and brothers. Grandmas and grandpas and baby brand new. I love my family and they are me too.
It's so fun to play with puppets. My mom and my sister came to visit me.
When we had our first fashion, we all ran 1 mile. Running is really important because it gives you more energy and more exercise. Running is a good thing to do because it helps your blood move faster.
In the lower left-hand corner, you can see our principal and a coworker walking towards their vehicles as parked at the bottom of the switch track. The reason that they have to do this is because the tide gets so high it completely washes out the road. Teachers usually have to walk through side trails and sometimes the water just to get to work. The staff at CELO is kind of an adventurous bunch. They don't mind hiking down, riding their four-wheelers, and when it's really cold and icy, slipping and sliding all the way down the switchback. In the upper left-hand corner, you'll see a teacher riding his bicycle. He takes it up and down the switchback when the weather is good enough.
Organizing the school carnival with my teacher, Ms. Greer, was wonderful because volunteering is always something good for you and people around you.
The carnival was so fun. We played games and each question can be. I hope we have the carnival every year.
One of our field trips last year, we went camping in Cooper Landing, Hidden Lake. 6 through 12 graders went for 1 day and a half. After camping, we went to Nikiski Pool.
A field trip we did is camping. I learned to store your food somewhere a bear could not get it.
We were at the Craft Museum. I saw a motorcycle out of forks and spoons. It was so cool that I took a picture of it.
On October 3rd and 4th, the Catchmark High School students went across Peterson Bay with the Arizona High School students. They went on the boat the Discovery. The school got a grant of $10,000 from the University of Alaska. We spoke with one of the participants, Faina Basarjan, a sophomore from Arizona School. Luba Kusru interviewed her, and she asked Faina what she thought of the trip.
This trip was actually really fun. I got to learn and see new cool stuff.
Another question Luba asked Faina was what she thought was the most exciting event that happened on the trip.
I think the
earthquakes actually make a crash in the earth. Two of the guys the students met were Seth and Henry. They stayed with them at the Peterson Bay Field Station. They taught them everything they now know. The most interesting and terrifying thing that the students learned was that the sea stars are disappearing. They call it sea star wasting disease. They only saw 3 sea stars of the same species, but normally you should see dozens of sea stars of different species.
I think PE is an important part of school because you exercise and it helps with your schoolwork performance.
PE is important because we get exercise and it is fun because, I mean, it's sports. Think about it. We built rockets in science class and we launched them. I learned all about rocket science.
In science, I did a rocket project. I learned that it is too dangerous to fly a rocket.
When I finish school, I want to be a fisherman or a construction builder.
In math, we have a tiny cabin building project. We learn how to measure and all the parts, walls, and floors. Next, we're going to be focusing on the roof.
In the Challenger Center, I learned that it was difficult to program a model rover. A rover is a robot that goes to places where humans cannot go.
The state troopers came to us on their helicopter. We went inside the helicopter. It was so cool. After we went out of the helicopter, they flew away.
The time I showed leadership was when I was playing football. I was a captain on our team, and actually we had 4 captains. I was one of them. And I would, or we would, always keep them in check and push them to their limit and also try to make everybody work as a team.
Our school picks up garbage on the beach so that it can look good. There was a lot of garbage.
We went hiking with Miss G and it was a lot of fun.
Designing a yearbook showed me a lot of leadership for my school. Leadership motivated me that working and communicating together is what you're going to do in the real world after you graduate, get married, and start a life of your own.
It was fun to go rock climbing. I went to the top. Here I am at the borough meeting and asking for a new school and telling why we need a new school.
doesn't quite give the perspective of how it is. But that's about as how fast they go, too. It's all yours.
All right. Well, Laura, are you ready?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Wonderful. Hello, all. My name is Laura Murphy. I've been a part of Rasdoma and the head of the Bay Schools for about 10 years now. And I'd like to thank you all for allowing Tim and I not to have to drive a couple hours to attend this meeting, but instead use the technology we have. Thanks a lot. Rasdolna School, as you all know, is a Russian Old Believer school that houses kindergarten through 12th grade in four different buildings. The village has put together a blacktop for the students and also updated playground equipment. The village uses the buildings for community meetings, Bible school, community volleyball, Easter egg hunt, preschool. Students walk or ride their four-wheelers to and from school and go home for lunch. And different after-school activities for the middle school and high school include drama club, running club, battle of the books, of course, and touch football. High school students have the opportunity to go to Homer High School and do an academy, which is like welding, construction, etc. They receive a half a credit for attending and participating. Right now there's about 5 students going to Homer High, including 2 pretty conservative girls. It's nice to see them participating. Also with the other Head of the Bay schools, we have sports that our students can participate in, including football, wrestling, girls soccer, cross country. So go Mustangs! This video that you will be watching was inspired by a project grad video that showed a day in the life of a student who went to AvTech. And, in fact, our students have a chance to go visit AvTech and other Kenai Peninsula Borough colleges once a year through Project Grad and other activities. After watching the Project Grad video, the high school students felt really relaxed and kind of excited about going to AvTech. They felt comfortable. And that's what they wanted you to feel like, too, after you watch this video, that you would be able to come here and fit right in with our energetic, dedicated learners. Just so you know, this is all student-made, so please be prepared for some jumpy parts. And without further ado, Tim.
Service to the school district and the Kenai Peninsula school communities. Also, thanks to the district office personnel for all their support to both of our schools. A big thanks also to the school board for moving the remote meeting participation motion forward at the last school board meeting and allowing Laura and myself to join the meeting from our schools. I appreciate this time to showcase the unique aspects of Kashmek CLO and Rasdolna schools, students, and staff. Thanks a lot.
Hang on just a second for any questions.
Tim and Laura, thank you very kindly for joining us this evening. This is it's kind of an exciting new technology as it develops. It actually worked very well tonight. Questions for these folks? Your videos said it all. Thank you very much for joining us this evening.
Thank you.
Have a good night. Bye. Push the video button.
Okay. We have at this moment an opportunity for any public comment on any item which is not on our agenda this evening, please. I ask that you limit your comments to 3 minutes. Seeing no one, KPBSD Library Update. This is Carla Barkman. You're going to bring your troops with you, aren't you? You got to punch the red button there.
We need to know what the t-shirt says.
Good evening.
Next week is National Library Week, and I thought it a good time to come and share some of the highlights of things happening in our KPBSD school libraries. Before we do that, I would like those with me tonight in attendance to introduce themselves and tell you what schools they work at. So we'll start this guy.
I'm Rosie Thompson. I'm at Testamina Elementary.
Julie Depkin at Seward Elementary.
Lisa Whipp at West Elmore Elementary.
Jill Gann, teacher librarian at Kenai Middle School and Kenai High School.
Donna Spence, library aide at Sedona Prep.
Bobby Baldwin, teacher librarian at Redoubt Elementary.
Shannon Butler at Cave Beach Elementary.
Tamara Ware of Solana High School.
Thank you, ladies. That is roughly one-third of our district library staff. I am Carla Barkman. I am the district librarian, and I'm also technology coach for the district. Librarians do many things. In addition to managing their school library collections, they teach information literacy skills. They collaborate with classroom teachers. They manage computer labs, laptop carts, other devices. They help students and teachers navigate online resources. They run book fairs. They support our Battle of the Books programs. They provide a safe, inviting place for our students before and after school and during lunch. They, of course, foster the love of reading and encourage lifelong learning. As a group, we collaborate and we meet twice a year in a face-to-face environment, and we meet once a month in a virtual environment using Skype for Business. And during those times, we share ideas with each other, we share resources, we learn how to implement new technology into the things we do, we create lessons that we started sharing in Canvas, and we encourage each other to grow professionally. We also encourage each other to be leaders in our buildings, in our district, and in our state. In fact, many of our members, many of our staff are members of AKSL, which is the Alaska Association of School Librarians, and three of us are on the executive board for that state group. I am the current president. Jill Gann is our president-elect at the state level, and Julie Depkin is the Kenai Peninsula and Mat-Su regional rep. I could go on, and anybody knows me knows that I can fill space talking, and I am passionate about libraries and the KPBSD libraries in particular. But rather than listening to me talk, it appears it is video night at the April 3rd board meeting, so we did create a video for you, which hopefully will give you a look into the libraries of our school district and give you an idea of some of the things happening. So, Debbie, we will let you start that video.
Every student receives a weekly literacy lesson.
One of the things I like about our library is that we do drawing lessons. This year we did snowy owls.
There's so much information that the kids can access, and our librarian is awesome. She does presentations for the kids. She helps them, you know, with their research papers. She points them in the right direction. I use our librarian, a lot. I do teach seniors. We do have research papers. And like I said, she did the best of it. I really appreciate our library.
library, so our librarian and aides do a great job of matching just writing books with kids.
I'm in first grade, and I've been reading for 5 years.
And my favorite book is Where the Red Fern Grows.
My favorite book is Sammy and the Cat.
Hello, do you like my hat?
I do not. Goodbye.
I'm gonna go by P.G. Eastman.
Remember being a little kid reading your first book, maybe it was Clifford, Winnie the Pooh, or my personal favorite, Dr. Seuss. When I first went to the school library, I was a shy kid and didn't talk or even really fit in at the time. I got the Cat in the Hat. I took it home and me and my dad read it. It helped me imagine a being the cat, just being who you are even if it looks goofy or out of the ordinary. I started to talk more, be more open, and I even tried drawing that very cat.
What I like about the library is that it has so many books that you can choose from.
They have so many selections of books.
I like how it has like a bunch of categories.
Nonfiction, fiction, humorous,
pictures,
lots of things.
Knowledge, like science and math,
nonfiction and fiction,
or sad.
Language, any types of books. You only will find poetry books.
So I say go get yourself a book. Love, learn, and imagine.
Go to the library.
It's really the heart of the school. And it has really created a culture of literacy here. It's fantastic.
We love our library.
And we'd like to thank you for giving us a chance to share this evening, and we would also like to invite any of you to visit our school libraries. Contact me if you want to, or any of these people that are with me here tonight, or any of our schools to visit one of our libraries. Questions? Comments? Anything for us?
Well, best wishes on your special week.
Thank you.
In a couple of weeks. I was surprised. I assumed that a librarian movie would have no sound. Any questions from the board, Mike?
Thanks for the presentation. I just want to make a comment. Just as libraries are essential to our communities, libraries are absolutely essential in our schools, and I want to thank you all for your passion. I know firsthand the passion you all have with our libraries and the schools, so thank you.
Anyone else? Thank you very much for coming in, ladies. Communications and petitions, Mr. Dusick.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. First, I wanted to thank Mrs. Whip for the brain cell. Obviously, I need more of those. Thank you. I don't know what the real message there was, but anyway. Also, in your information packet, there is a memo from Mr. Potest about the Kenai land parcels that you will want to check out. It does talk about those two lots that are inaccessible and how we would move forward in the future on disposing of those lots, but that'll come back to you in the fall because it has to be a part of the February land sale from the borough. Also, received word from the commissioner that the chief counsel of state school officials will have a film crew coming to our district on Thursday to interview and video our distance ed program in action. So we're getting national attention in that regard. They'll be talking with people from Seward High School as well via Skype. Our teacher of the year, James Harris, and going over to Kenai Central first thing in the morning. So pretty excited about that. That'll be a professionally done film that we'll be involved in. So that's really, really cool. I appreciate the commissioner thinking of us. Also, the statewide assessments peaks has started. That started on March 28th, goes through April 28th. Most of our schools will be conducting that assessment this week. But those that have started, there's been about 2,000 tests overall taken district-wide, and so far, so good. We have about 10,000 to go, and for the vast majority are online. Also, some important dates for you. Tomorrow happens to be National School Librarians Day, so congratulations. Perfect timing, huh? And I'll be putting out a note to all staff tomorrow morning, as I usually do. On the 5th, it's School Paraprofessional Day. So if you see any of our professionals, please thank them. April 5th is also an early release day. The 6th is also busy. We have a key communicators update that we're going to broadcast out various schools it'll be located at. And then after that, I'll be attending the visual feast at the Kenai Art Guild. I invite you to attend that as well. Great opportunity to see our kids' artwork displayed in the community. April 7th is our handbook committee meeting, and then this weekend I will be in Juneau to work with our legislators. I'm looking forward to that. And April 17th is the 90-day limit on the legislature, so we'll see if we can wrap things up by that time. I'll send you out some other dates. Something to get on your calendar, though, with the BP Teacher of Excellence Banquet right now is scheduled for April 27th. So hopefully you'll all be able to attend that. And that's what I have for communications.
Questions for Mr. Disick? Thanks, sir. Representatives selected by the following advisory committees, site councils, and or authorized student support organizations, KPAA, KPEA, KPESA, or the Borough Assembly. Great moment to recognize our new Assembly rep. Mr. Ogle is present at the back of the room this evening. You're not expected to say anything at this moment, Mr. Ogle, but welcome. Come on up.
Hello, my name is Daniel Bowen, and I am standing in representing KPEA for David Brighton today. David is in Juneau speaking with our representatives and the senators about the budget. Just wanted to thank everybody here for your time today. I realize the amount of work that you put in your committees and your meetings, and I just want to appreciate all the time and effort that you spend working for on behalf of our teachers and our children, so thank you. I just wanted to start off by saying that I realize the uncertainty that is happening in Juneau at this time, but I strongly urge for you to vote to approve the contracts of our non-tenured teachers tonight. If not today, the next time that we have available is May, and it is way too long of an uncertainty for our teachers to face, and we could lose some of our best and brightest teachers that we have available for our district. So I think it is very important that we vote to approve those non-tenured teacher contracts tonight. President David Brighton, he called me before I made it to this meeting and said, would you like to speak? And I said, sure. And he offered to let me know that he did speak with Senator Michicki before he called me, and Michicki stated that he thought it was unlikely that we would see anything higher than a 2% budget cut. So with that being said, I strongly urge for you to vote for those non-tenured teachers tonight. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Any questions? Say hello to David when you talk to him.
Will do. Thank you.
Thanks. Anyone else in any of those categories?
Excuse me, just give me a minute. I've been in a lot of pain, and these lovely chairs don't help a lot. President KPESA, don't have a whole lot tonight. The mood in the room this afternoon was quite dismal, so I think that just is making me feel that way, too. There were a couple things, though. One thing that I heard during the CatchMac CeeLo presentation was everyone work as a team, and I mean, that's what we all need to be doing is working as a team. And saying that, I have asked to be included on staffing issues for support staff. I have yet to be invited to that table, hoping that invitation will come soon. I think I can really help. And I'm not saying that because I have a big ego. I think I can really help. Another thing that I saw on the news, and I didn't catch the whole thing, but Jody Sparks, who is a teacher's son and a para's son for our school district, was a part of the fiscal debate. I think it was held at UAA. And anyways, that was very exciting. And I think you have all or most of you have met Jody. He's been at some of the budget meetings that the district has held. So congratulations to him, and way to go. Then I also heard Sean say about Paraprofessionals Day, and as we all know, our paras work with some of our most precious children, and so they are truly some of the best employees we have, and have some of the hardest job, one of the hardest jobs that we have. Other than that, I don't think I have anything else. I do want to say thank you to the librarians, and I might have recognized Maddie in that video. You didn't recognize her?
Did I, Lisa?
Okay. Well, she sure looks like Cheryl, so I don't know what's going on. Anyway, thank you. The spring is here. My greenhouse is open, and haven't had 78 degrees on my deck yet, but I'm going to have my granddaughters over to learn how to garden here real quick. So thank you.
Thank you, Patty.
Hi, Debbie Carrington, Milchick School. I just want to say thank you very much for everything that you've done. I hope that you move the budget forward, asking for the max. As we all know, it is our responsibility to fund our schools, and it is also our responsibility to make sure that we have teachers in front of our students. I know every school is unique, and I know that every school is looking at cuts. If we don't ask the borough to fund us to the cap, then what's the state going to think? It's really important that we do have those teachers there. And I do appreciate the situation, and I understand how tough it is. So that's what I have to say today. Thanks.
Thank you, Debbie. Anyone else in any of those groups? Seeing no one, Superintendent's Report, Mr. Dusick.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. Since the last time we met, several things have happened with our students. You probably all have heard about our Nenelchik basketball team and their second consecutive state championship, and Austin White with the Gatorade Player of the Year. Fantastic. First time ever, I believe, in our district for basketball with Austin, so congratulations. As Patty mentioned, Jody Sparks and Addison Downing, two students from Soldotna High School, they were both down in Juneau over spring break, took their spring break to kind of do some interning, working with our legislators, and also testified to the Senate Finance Committee and did an excellent job, and I appreciate that. And they did take part in debating Alaska's fiscal future, sponsored by the UAA debate teams. So that was excellent, and appreciate their efforts. Mass band also occurred recently. It was a great showing by all of our students in band, and honor band did a great job. And then something that hopefully
Well, I know a few of you were there. I think Mr. Navarre and Mr. Arness. The Young Americans Show, what an amazing show that was. And I really appreciate the efforts from Mountain View and Carl Kircher to bring that group to our community. 270 students participated in that. Not all from Mountain View, but the vast majority. And what they were able to do with those kids was incredible. You know, that to me just really represented music education at its finest. It was fantastic, and we're working to try to get them back up in the district here. It's usually a two-year wait. But I wanted to point that out, and hopefully we've got video of that because that was amazing. Also, moving on to staff, I know that I've informed you this via email, but I wanted to remind you that we did select Alan Haskins for our Seward Elementary position. He's currently in Susan B. English, and we'd be moving there next year. Jenny Martin, she's administrator for Texas, has been selected as our Seward Middle School principal teacher. Susan B. English, we completed our interviews, and we're hoping to announce that selection soon. A great turnout from the Susan B. English crowd. But we did notice one thing there. We had five people that had committed to interviews a week ago, and we, by the time we interviewed, we were down to two. The other three, a couple of them selected jobs. So we're hopeful to fill our positions now quickly because administrative positions are going to be getting a little more difficult. And then Moose Pass and Mountain View AP position have been advertised. As far as the state and the legislature goes, Mr. Jones and myself have testified on several bills. We've posted all of that information on our legislative page. Lots of activity have been going on in the Senate, and I do believe that the testimony from the district, from you, from all of you, and from our community members have made an impact, specifically with SB 96 that included the school size factor. As you heard earlier today, the Senate has committed to a 5% cut to the BSA. We've also heard that it's not likely that that will occur, but it's still important that we weigh in and let them know the impacts. I get a lot of my news from Twitter, and I've seen a lot of activity regarding responses to that. I'm hopeful that we will be able to continue to move forward in a respectful manner. Our district especially has tremendous results, and deep cuts put that at risk. There's no doubt. As we said, we will still provide the best possible education with whatever resources we are given, but in order to continue our onward march upward, we need full funding, and that's something that we've been very clear about and what we would do with that funding. We believe we're good stewards of public money. District news, you may have heard about the Upstream Academy. That is, we are our own 6th and 7th grade Title VI students, Native Education students. We're going to have an academy starting May 29th through June 3rd that's going to be STEM-based with cultural activities within it, and drones are going to be a big part of it. Hopefully you'll be involved with that. We're really excited. It kind of extends the learning from ANSEP. And then just a quick update, been busy month for me, lots of presentations out there, really got a good response from the Kenai Rotary, that was excellent, and then also when we've been working with the Assembly a couple times, and been fortunate to get out to several schools, and hopefully you all have as well. So that is my report this evening.
Questions for Mr. Dusick? Okay, February finance report. Mr. Jones.
Okay, you have before you the finance report through the month of February. It's two-thirds of our year is gone. February, that time period is to be kind of a tipping point for us financially. As of the end of February, we're a little over $10 million of revenues ahead of expenditures. But the month of February, we spent a little more than $1 million than we got in revenue, and that gets a little heavier usage each month we move towards the end of the year. And so you will see at this point in time, we are scheduled to come in at a small deficit, kind of where we were budgeted, always depending on, you know, some things. One of the things Liz and I talked about there are days we need to start looking at the fuel accounts and see where we ended up the year, and we had a real winter, so it'll be interesting to see how those adjust out. But at this point in time, that would be the only thing that we would need to look at with any concern. So,
questions for Mr. Jones? I have one. Do you have a Phoenix update?
Do I have a what?
A Phoenix update?
Oh, that's basketball. I'm a football or baseball guy.
I just knew it was on the corner
of
your screen.
The Orioles won
Thank you,
today.
Sir. What is an Oriole?
.47-48
Yeah, halfway through the second half. I have complained for probably 25 years now that this first meeting in April, first Monday in April, is always the wrong day for this. I'm just saying it again. And I guess that coming from the guy who sets up the schedule for these things. If I think about it a minute.
Hey, the good news is we've moved January around to where we get to watch the national championship football game. So.
And there's that as well. Board reports. Any members of the board who were officially representing the board? Grilled?
Yeah, I'd like to report that on Tuesday, March 7th, I stopped by the Nanosic School and had a tour of the facility and the school during classroom time with Principal Jeff Ambrosia. Is that his name? Mm-hmm. And that was very exciting. It's been a very long time since I've been in that school. They're doing some wonderful things there. On Tuesday, March 21st, I came up here to participate in the KPB Assembly joint meeting. And on March 23rd, I attended the Homer High School You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown musical, and it was fantastic.
Thanks, sir. Anyone else? Mr. Navarro.
Thank you. Marty Anderson and myself attended the National School Board Association meeting in Denver this last week. It was a very good conference. You go down there and you really do get inspired. I brought a number of things back to share with the superintendent and the rest of the board, but I'll have to bring my packet in. And I told Marty I'd wait till I came here, too, so that we could do it. But it's amazing some of the exciting things they're doing around the country. The other thing that was real inspiring is watching all the different youth groups perform their different talents for us at the conference and the enthusiasm, and we got to meet some of them. I met a number of school board members, even from small towns in Wyoming and others, because they had a real hoedown down there in Denver. And, again, it's a good networking opportunity, and I look forward to presenting the board with all the information that Marty and I were able to engage in. I think it is a great opportunity for board members to do professional training. There were a lot of good workshops with national speakers. Our first day, just so you know, at the main meeting of the day, we did get to have the astronaut, Scott Kelly. His brother wasn't there, but that went to space for a year, and his experience, his new book is called Endurance. And again, he was inspiring. The NSBA has a lot of this, and I'll give the other board members, but those in the public, you can get all of those speaking opportunities and everything and download them or see, because they record them and then share them. If you take the time to listen to some of them, but he was definitely inspiring, and he had his unique way of communicating to everybody. So anyway, here back at home, I was very happy to be able to, and I consider representing the school board at the Young Americans performance at Kenai Central High School that the Mountain View School was able to. It's the first time they've been to Alaska. I think they hit three schools in Alaska in their tour, and we got to be one of them down here on the Kenai. And at the time when I'm going, I thought, well, okay, they got all our local kids in there. But let me tell you, it was a professional performance with those young kids, and they had an absolute, I guarantee you, a fun time. I was talking to some of the parents in the seats next to me, and their daughter was just, number one, was she happy that she got to go, but they had to do extra work earlier in the week, but those 2 days they got to go practice, and they were just ecstatic that they got to go engage in that kind of inspiring opportunity for them. It's a lifetime experience that'll change those kids' life, I guarantee you. And there were some kids from our high school, because that's where they get recruits, and they bring them into the program and give them a scholarship and do so. I believe there were three Kenai Central High School students that also participated in the program. And I think they had one or two people from the local Boys and Girls Club that participated in the program, too. If you missed it, all of you, I'm just glad I didn't, because it's since I've been on this board and since I've been going to some program, that is a neat. And what those 30 young adults working with our young adults, third and fourth graders primarily, was just amazing. And you're going to see those grades, just excel, because I think they got a new meaning of that, and that it was so great that they could do that. So with that, that'll end my report for tonight. There was an informational work meeting, or committee meeting today at 12:30 that we chaired and talked about Senate Bill 96 and House Bill 57. Was it, I think, the two primary ones on funding, and that's the House Bill 57 is one the House passed that the Senate's now taken up, where they can amend it and put the 5% cut to education that we hear about that we hope isn't going to be realized. And the Senate Bill 96, I believe, is essentially getting somewhat pulled, and they did listen to public comment on reconfiguration and 80% rule on consolidating schools and number of things. So fortunately, I think that one is headed in the right direction, at least for this district at this time. But and we did have two school board members that are on the line. They're in Juneau as we speak. And they had meetings all day, and they briefed us later on their findings. But thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Navar. Anyone else representing the board as an official capacity?
Yeah, Joe.
Go ahead.
March 21st, I was able to attend the joint budget work session with the Borough Assembly. Then on March 23rd, remotely, was able to attend the Board Health Care Cost Committee. And then March 24th, also remotely, the Information Committee is prepared to go down to Juneau. March 31st, I flew into Juneau and attended CTE and our schools events that the AASB Spring Academy put on. And then from April 1st to current, I've been attending the Alaska Association of School Boards Spring Legislative Fly-In, with visits to the legislature both today and scheduled for tomorrow.
Thanks,
sir.
Well, Penny here.
Go ahead.
Oh, hi. Yes, this is Penny Vadla. I also attended the Joint Borough Assembly meeting on March 21st, and I really appreciated that meeting and the time they took to listen to us and to work with us. I attended the information meeting on March 23rd with the information committee for our district. On the 29th, I attended the meeting at Skyview, the principal and superintendent's meeting, where they presented the education elements and other information to us, and I found that very informative and very inspiring. I flew down to Juneau, I don't know what day, maybe the night of the 30th, and I sat down on the 31st with the Alaska Association School Board of Directors, because I'm a member now, and they asked me to judge and to score the June Nelson Memorial Scholarships, and I'd like to say two things. They went up from 125 scholarships to 178 that we graded that one day, and they were amazing. And we, Kenai Peninsula Borough School students fared very well. I didn't get to score any of them, but looking at the placement of everything, it was very impressive, and all the students did well. It was really, I guess it sounds crazy, but it was very enjoyable to read all those essays from students. On April 1st, April Fool's Day, I attended the Association of School Board of Directors meeting, and I really enjoyed that meeting and meeting with my cohorts when we would, as we discussed, a variety of issues that I won't go into. I'll talk to my board about it later, but that was informative. We talked about things on the House and the Senate, and we talked about current trends and so forth. Today and tomorrow, we are meeting, Zen and I are meeting with legislators, and we'll see 22 legislators in 2 days. And one thing I'd like to note is that many of the senators and the representatives say that when they look at promising practices and things that districts are doing right, they often refer to the information that we have provided them, we meaning the superintendent and assistant superintendent and Peggy Erkaneff, because we have information in front of us that we can hand to them that shows the innovations and the efficiencies that we put into place, and we are doing many things right, and I know we'll continue to do that. And I think that's it. Thank you very much. Oh, one more thing. I'm sorry. And when we talked to the senators today and the representatives, they said it was really important that people write letters, since we can't give public testimony on many things, and that the community and the parents and everybody interested write or send emails down to your representatives. And if you feel inclined, write a letter to the editor and in support of education, so that we can communicate to them just how important our students and our children are to us.
Thank you, Ms. Vadla. Anyone else? Committee reports. Well, we got the information committee report a bit ago. Mr. Costamore, policy?
We met today in policy committee, and we discussed changes to the 7000 series, which should be coming to the next board work session for us to move through. We also discussed several of the items on the agenda today, the tax shelter list, the order of the agenda, and one more thing that I don't recall off the top of my head, but overall it was a pretty productive meeting.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Ilg.
Yeah, I'd like to report that the Wellness Committee met on Thursday, March 30th. I think it's sold out in the prep. And our primary charge is to review student nutrition, physical activity, and we're going to have some more comprehensive addition and changes to this policy for the policy committee in the fall. But specifically, one thing we have to update very soon is Alaska Statute 14.30.360, which is basically a law effective October 16th, 2016, for guidelines for K through 8th grade to provide 54 minutes of physical activity every day. It's a combination of phys ed classes, classroom activities, and recess. And the other variables is never use physical activity as a punishment. And the other thing is never to try to keep kids in from recess as punishment either. They need that physical activity. So the policy committee will be looking for some recommendation from the wellness committee in sometime in the fall or winter, however it comes. And, it was a very productive meeting.
Thank you, sir. Any others? The healthcare cost committee did meet on 24th, 25th of March, continuing to try and wrap our arms around the enormous amount of information that's available and try and figure out how to sort it down to where it makes sense. So, don't know that that's going to go anywhere, but I sure would like to get a better handle on what we're doing there. We're down to the consent agenda. I think what we'll do is take a 5-minute at ease before we move into the action part of our agenda. Pardon me? Work session report. You want that first. You are a hard taskmaster, Mrs. Tressler. Board work session report. This afternoon, the board met beginning at 1 o'clock and held work sessions on Project Grad, the 6-year plan, KIPSAW handbook revision, Tableau data visualization report, interesting report, interesting name, collaboration report. We put that one off until the next meeting. Legislative update was delivered by the superintendent. Innovation and personalization, the education elements proposal was presented in work session, and then various proposals for the FY18 general fund budget were presented. All my board members who are currently in attendance were there for those work sessions. Now? Okay, we'll take a 5-minute at ease. All right, we will get back underway here. We are down to our consent agenda. All of these items that I'm about to read will be dealt with one motion at one time. And so that would be item 10A, leave of absence requests report support 2017-0403. Item 10C, 2016-17 long-term substitute contracts. Item 10D, 2017 and 18 tentative administrator contracts. Item 10E, 2017 and 18 tentative non-tenured teacher contracts. Item 10F, 2017 and 18 tentative non-tenured teacher contracts and tenure. Item 10G, resignations. Item 10H, 2017 and 18, Board of Education tentative meeting dates. Item 10I, presenter credentials for topics related to human reproduction or sexual matters. And item 10J, board committee assignment. Any of those items that person in the public wishes to speak to, this would be the moment. Okay. Seeing no one, I need a motion. Ms. Hull?
Move to approve items 10A through J.
Second.
Thank you, Mr. Holt. Ms. Holt.
Move to remove.
You don't
item
need to move to remove. You just ask. You just
please remove item J.
Pardon me?
Please remove item J.
Remove item J. Okay. Any other discussion on the motion to approve the rest of the consent agenda?
I'd like to pull item C, please. 10C.
Okay. Mr. Castmore.
I don't want to pull anything. I just want to have discussion. I don't know if we're there yet.
Pardon me?
Are we to the point for discussion or not?
Yes, discussion on the other items besides C and J.
So I just wanted to clarify with the administration. I see we're approving a lot of contracts tonight. Does this basically round out our outstanding contracts?
As far as non-tenure goes, pretty much. There are some people that, through the process, due to staffing situations, would have been a part of that reduction in force due to budgetary reasons. We do have 30 open positions, though, that we have not advertised that we're holding as we wait on our funding.
So then just to clarify, so that I'm certain, any discussions of a bulk reduction force like it was done 15, 20 years ago, this would put that discussion to bed.
It should.
Very good. Thank you.
Further discussion? The motion is to approve items A, B, D, E, F, G, H, and I. Now, what is this going to do to your situation?
No telling, but I think I'm all right.
Okay. Mrs. Stressler, this would be, okay, item 10B through J, item C and J removed. All right, so that's correct.
Well,
Mr. Dusick?
Leave of absence is B removed?
C.
I mean C, I'm sorry, I don't know my alphabet.
Well, which one do you want removed? Leave of absence is B, but you asked for C. Okay, let's back up. Throw out everybody's votes. Which one do you want removed, Ms. Vogla? B, as in boy, or?
10C.
The long-term substitute contracts.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, so that is the one that is removed. All right, let's try it again.
Okay.
Ms. Stressler, would you put up the vote? Mr. Dusick, advisory vote.
We just see Mrs. Fosler.
We need your advisory.
Sorry.
Yes.
Waiting breathlessly.
And everyone's voted.
I don't have a one door. Did I already vote? Okay. Good. Did you vote for me, or how did I do that? I didn't see a screen. I think these guys are voting for me over here. All right. Motion is approved unanimously. Let's go on to item C, Ms. Vodla.
Yes, I just had a question about the long-term substitutes. Do we usually do that within, like, a month? I noticed that one was way back in December, and maybe I should have asked earlier about if we had more information. I just wondered why one of them was given to us so late, or if that was just a temporary and they were working on and off.
Mr. Dusick?
No, that was an oversight administratively.
An oversight administratively.
Oh, okay, because I really think when we have those long-term substitutes, I know we all have oversight, so I have the two, but I think that is important to get those salaries to the people who are doing that work in a really expedient manner, so I meant to bring it up earlier, and I forgot. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Vodla. Let's go ahead and do that vote on item C, as in Charlie.
Voting's open.
Mr. Dusick?
Yes.
Waiting for Mrs. Vidler.
Mrs. Vidler?
Everyone's voted.
Okay, the motion is approved, and we will go down to item J, Ms. Holt.
I'd like to make an amendment to approve the resignation of Len Holt from the School Board Information Committee. If there's a second.
Second.
I will. She is amending it to add her resignation from the Information Committee. Correct?
Mm-hmm.
Is there discussion? Mr. Holt, thank you for the second. Is there discussion on the amendment? You need to do something now before we can vote on the amendment?
I think we're okay.
What's that?
I think we're ready to vote.
Okay. Mr. Dusick, what do you think?
Yes.
Voting's open.
Okay. Looks correct.
Everyone's voted.
Okay, that motion is approved. Now we are ready for item J as amended. Ms. Holt?
During our board discussion, you asked if there was anyone else that wanted to serve on the Language Arts Review Committee.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering if anyone here wanted, has anybody mentioned it? Because we could do that right now.
Well, we
to add a second person.
Yeah, we could if somebody, but it was also pointed out that they only have one meeting this spring, and then the next meeting will be in the fall. So if someone wants to join up over the course of the summer, they can. So it wasn't.
Okay, because I'm willing to do that if no one else wants to, and go to the spring one.
Okay.
So I'll make a motion. Does anyone else want to? It's here before I do this. Oh, then I'll wait. We'll let Tim.
You're welcome to attend the spring one if you like, and then you guys can work it out amongst yourselves between now and next fall.
Okay.
Okay. So we are now at item J as amended, correct? Okay. Mr. Dusick.
Yes.
Voting is open.
And unfortunately, I have to report that Gonzaga came in second. No, I wasn't paying attention. Pardon me? North Carolina, National Basketball Championship today.
Everyone voted.
I thought you said Penny came in second.
Actually, I'm a Zags fan.
Okay, the motion is approved. And we are through the consent agenda. Move on to action item 11A, budget transfer over $50,000. So it needs board approval. This one specifically relates to the with education elements. That's what I was looking for. Anyone in the public who wishes to speak to this item? There are copies of it on the back desk. Seeing no one, I need a motion. Mr. Holt.
Yes, I move approval of action item 11A, budget transfer.
Second.
Thank you, Mr. Kessmore. Is there discussion? There was extensive discussion this afternoon at the work session, so this isn't being done lightly, but any further discussion? Mr. Kessmore.
I just wanted to state my concern as we go forward with this. I know that we are talking about spending a pretty significant amount of money in a at the same time when we're talking about cutting teachers from the classroom. So I think it's important that we at least discuss the fact that, you know, we have had a lot of discussions on this topic. We believe that this is the correct, at least I believe this is the correct way forward to get into personalized learning slash modernizing education, whatever you want to call it, basically just a step forward. I think that the concepts provided for in this presentation will be commonplace in 20 years, and I think we just have to decide if we want to get on the train now or wait another 10 years before we get on the train. So I think that the administration has made a good case for this. I think this company is a very reasonable company to work with, and I think that while it appears at face value that we're spending extra money this year, I think it's actually going to turn out in the long run to be in their best interest. So thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kessmore. Mr. Ilg.
I also want to comment some similar to what Dan was saying. I had some hesitations about this with the obvious price tag, but knowing that it's not going to be an additional expense, it's just using money we already have, a curriculum fund. The timing is very, very perfect. You know, where there's a crisis, we evolve. And so our state is in a fiscal crisis, and this is a step forward for our school district to evolve. And I'm excited that all of our children, including my own and my family members and friends and whatnot, who have kids in the school district, that will benefit from this new step forward.
Thank you, Mike. Ms. Rolfe, so hold on a minute, Penny. You'll be next.
You know, I had some very similar concerns. I actually still have them, too, about, you know, we talked about a lot of terms today, flipped classes, blended classrooms, personalized learning. There's an awful lot of things that are very similar, and it's somewhat confusing to me sometimes to even just to get the terminology straight on what's what. And I think that after the discussion today, it became obvious that this is a way to try and pull all that stuff together with one final encapsulating program so that even though it appeared to me at first to be more confusing, it actually seems like it might be something that kind of clarifies things for us. And I'm hesitant whenever I see money going to something other than teachers, but I can see the benefits of this program.
Thank you, Mr. Holt. Ms. Vodla.
Yes, when I attended that meeting last Wednesday, I asked, and so did Mr. Arnaz, asked principals and so forth to send us emails, and I received quite a few positive emails about this because so many people, so many schools, or many schools, not all of them, and many of our teachers are already doing blended learning and beginning to personalize, and it's important to have something that drives that. And I think what I really liked about this after I went through all the information that was provided to us by the administration, I saw how it would connect parents and students and teachers and the administration and would really drive this because we're already, I think, at the forefront in our state, but we aren't totally there yet. And I think this will be what will propel us further and include more teachers and strengthen our collaboration and get us into the 21st century. And we're already there. We're already doing wonderful things. I think this will just benefit our students both in all the schools. So I am wholeheartedly behind this.
Thank you, Ms. Vodla. Ms. Holt.
I just wanted to say that I had hesitancy, too, because even though this money was designated for curriculum, if we came, if times got tough, we could have redesignated it for teachers. But I think in the long run, it will pay off for us. And the opportunities for students, especially in the opportunity for students, that's the most important thing. I definitely support it.
Thank you, Ms. Holm. Anyone else? Mr. Navarre?
Thank you. I support this transfer. Everything could be moved to teachers, but if you don't give them the tools and the that they need to be able to teach, then that this was put in the budget for that reason. Also, the administration explained that, and I believe that in 4 years you will actually have real dollars that will be available that then could go into teachers. So I think we're on the right path. I appreciate some of the concern and the comments, but I think this is the right path. The Kenai Peninsula Borough District has always been a leader in this state. I believe one other school district in the state has already worked in this direction. But I think it's important, and I think we can certainly our district will benefit, and I think the state will benefit. But more importantly, I think for the individual learning and that's going to come out of this, the students coming forward are going to benefit hugely. So I will support this.
Thank you, Mr. Barr. Anyone else? Mrs. Dresser, would you post the vote, please? Mr. Dusick.
Yes.
Everyone's voted.
Anyone wish to change their vote? Tally the vote, please. Okay. Motion is approved unanimously. We will move on to item 11B, the FY18 Preliminary General Fund Budget. Again, documents posted at the back of the room. Anyone who in the public who wishes to speak to this item, please come forward.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Lauren Reese, principal of Keene Alternative High School. And I want to take this opportunity to thank the board for allowing me to come forward tonight to speak. It is my understanding that tonight there's going to be an amendment proposed that would look at defunding the alternative schools. And I have a prepared speech that I would like to address the board with. The alternative schools in this district have their certified staffing allocations put into policy. This is done so historically because the student numbers fluctuate throughout the school year. Historically, student numbers at the alternative school start off with slightly slower numbers, but they begin to build as the school year progresses. This happens as students find out that they're not going to graduate from their home schools. Students get kicked out of their homes, and they need a much more flexible schedule at school that'll work with their work schedule because now they're being forced to work outside the work day or school day, excuse me, or they're simply just one of those students that is, quote unquote, getting lost in the hallways of their school and they need a new type of environment. Thus, for example, in August we started out with numbers in the 50s, and by mid-February we were in the mid-70s. These numbers do not include the 15 or so students that graduated by the month of February, nor does it not include those students who came into our building in August to try to catch up on their credits so that they could return to their home school at semester and graduate with the classmates they started with 4 years prior. In looking at numbers for this year, Keene Alternatives has seen a spike in the number of students in transition. Currently, we have more students in transition this year than the three previous years combined. This is a sign of the harsh economic times many of our students and families are facing. Our staff does everything they can do to help the kids out with clothing, with food, and making them feel safe while at the same time helping the students get their education. On a side note, one of our community partners, the Kenai Food Pantry, who works with our students in transition on a weekly basis, has seen a spike of an increase of 28% in terms of food for our families in the Kenai area. So we've seen an increase there, unfortunately. And it's also my understanding that the local area high schools will be facing staffing cuts next year. Such cuts will lead to an increase in the PTR in those schools. With this happening, it is my sincere belief that the alternative schools will be needed in their current capacities more than ever. Thus, with a limited time for me to be able to speak and present here tonight, I would like to leave you with a simple request to vote no on the proposed amendment coming up tonight. Thank you for your support and listening to me tonight. Thank you.
Thank you, Lauren. Questions? Mr. Castamore. Lauren.
So obviously, you're speaking to my amendment, which would be to reduce, which is upcoming to reduce by one-half FTE at your building. Can I ask if you know when the last time funding was reduced at Kenai Alternative School?
To my knowledge, I don't believe it has been.
So looking at your enrollment numbers from this budget we're about to pass, I mean, we've seen over the last, 10 years, a steady decline in the number of students in your building. Is that accurate?
There is a slight decline, yes.
We're looking at from a peak of over 100 to, last couple of years, 70, 80. I guess my real issue is what makes the alternative school special so they shouldn't have to feel the cuts that every other school in our district has had to feel? Why is it that elementary schools, high schools, everybody else has had to lose people and the alternative schools have been held harmless?
I can address this year. I can tell you that this year. To my knowledge, with our numbers have increased slightly this year over last year. I don't know where the number of 100 comes from you speaking from years past. I've been there for 8 years. I know sometimes we've been at the 90 student level. I can tell you that attendance is somewhat increasing in our building over the years recently. We deal with students with a number of circumstances, and those circumstances require every staff member in our building. I mean, you're either trying to find a pair of shoes for kids, you're a surrogate parent to these kids, and every staff member makes a difference in one of those kids' life. Every single staff member.
Do you feel like that's unique to your school versus the other schools in our district?
I can only speak to my school. I'm sure that's common in every school, obviously, but I'm just speaking from my school.
I'm not trying to be combative or disrespectful. I really appreciate what your program does. I have the utmost respect for the alternative school, both yours and Homer Flex, and I think your programs have been very successful over the years. I just think that, we've been about, this is my fourth year on the board, and every year we've increased the PTR. Every year we've made cuts to programs across the district, and yet for some reason the alternative schools have been held harmless, and I just think it's reasonable for us to look at it. So I do appreciate your comments this evening.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lauren.
Chris Brown, Homer Flex. And I passed out, or had Debbie pass out a, a handout. Getting over a bit of a sickness right here. Thank you for the opportunity to speak this evening and for your support of our program the last few years. I am also here to speak on the possible proposed cuts to the alternative programs. Homer Flex is uniquely poised to be adversely affected by such a cut. We serve a population of students who are often forgotten and fall through the cracks. People look at the graduation rate to gauge the success of a high school program, but graduation rate is an ineffective measure of the success of alternative programs. Many of our students arrive at flex behind on credits, 75%, as evidenced on that handout. And they lack the tools and support needed to make up those credits on their own. This is evidenced by the fact that nearly 40% of flex students have attempted distance delivery at some time or another. More importantly, we must address the fact that the majority of our students lack basic necessities, such as food and shelter. This can be seen in the percentage of students in transition that we have in our program and the free and reduced lunch program, where we're at 70% this year. These needs must be addressed before we can hope to educate and recover credits. So we need help, so we end up connecting students with the Students in Transition program or mental health service providers. We refer them to Haven House or State Services. We take them to the food pantry or medical service providers. In this way, Flex becomes much more than a place to recover credits. Rather, it becomes a home and family, if just for a few hours a day. Tasked with cutting a teacher to halftime, Flex would be forced to reduce the number of course offerings, expand the number of students per class period, and rely on distance delivery to fill the gap. But while such changes offer plenty of new concerns, they fail to take into account the reason our program exists. Traditional education does not meet the needs of our students. Whether it has been a traditional classroom or distance delivery, these students have fallen behind and are at risk of dropping out. Regular interaction and engagement with staff is what gets our students in the door, not a computer screen. These young men and women have experienced adverse life conditions that put them at risk. They need to know an adult who cares for them. As Superintendent Dusick often says, these students need to know you care before they care what you know. This is especially true of our reluctant learners. Overall, a cut in teaching positions would fundamentally change what and how we do things at Flex, and I'm concerned by the effects that change would have. Again, I thank you for this opportunity to speak, and I appreciate your consideration of our students' unique needs.
Thank you, Chris. Questions? Thanks for making the trip up. Yeah. Appreciate it. Anyone else in the public who wishes to speak to the FY18 budget proposal? Seeing no one, I need a motion. Mr. Navarre.
Thank you. I move for the approval of 11B, the FY18 preliminary general fund budget, which, for the record, or I'll speak to it after. Thank you.
Second.
Thank you, Mr. Holt. Now we're open for discussion, Mr. Navarre.
Just, I'll probably have other discussion, but real short, it does include the full funding from the borough at about $51 million.
Further discussion. Mr. Wilk, were you, no? Anyone else? Ms. Castmore?
This is my turn. Oh, give me just a second. Which one did you have first, Debbie, that I sent you?
The alternative school.
Okay. So, I move to amend the FY18 budget to reduce expenses by reducing the FTE assignment to Kenai Alternative School by one half and directing the administration to utilize that recovered fund for a reduction in the overall PTR.
That's your motion?
I think so.
Okay, second.
Thank you, Mr. Holt. You're staring at your screen like you're waiting for something.
Well, I couldn't find the right thing, so now I found the actual wording.
Okay, you want to try it again then, or are you happy with what you said?
I can read it again, sure.
Well, I didn't know if that was different.
No, it was different, I think, so let me try again here. Sorry. Okay. I move to amend the FY18 budget by reducing the certified staffing at Kenai Alternative High School by one-half FTE and directing these funds to reducing the overall pupil-to-teacher ratio.
Okay. Mr. Holt, you're still happy as the second?
Yeah.
Okay. Discussion.
Since I've got my mic on, as a bit of history, in FY16, the administration made a recommendation to us from the superintendent to look at making this reduction. At the time, nobody on the board was interested, so I've brought it forward again. We're in a situation where we continue to talk about budget crunches. We continue to talk about how we're going to go to Juno and tell them that we have no more to cut. And yet here is something that was recommended by our administration that we chose not to act on. And once again, it's not that I don't like what the alternative school does. It's that every other facility we've had has had to feel the pain, and this one has not. And I just find that upsetting. So.
Thank you, Mr. Cashmore, for the discussion. Mr. Navarre.
Yeah. We did have the discussion a number of times during the budget work session, and there's things that are brought up by board members that are included in the budget changes, and the administration didn't recommend them. And there's some things the administration recommends that don't get moved. It doesn't mean that it's money that can be not saved. You set different priorities. The alternative school formula was put in a separate part in the policy. It's separated specifically because of how it operates and how they have to operate in the number of kids and back and forth. And it's sometimes they operate higher than other classrooms. But whatever the case be, you look at least from my decision, I've looked at the success of the alternative school and the dollars that it saves, the future, and by those kids getting a second chance and getting a high school education, I'm proud that our district takes a lead in that and does that. And we can certainly have the discussions just like we did in committee about the give and take on whether we should cut the alternative schools. But there was discussion, and at the end, the board decided not to move forward on that at this time. It might be one of the cuts in the future, but we did do a number of cuts. None of them are easy, but at this time I won't support this motion to cut because $50,000 in the big scheme of things, when we talked about $500,000 being at the high school level to put back into PTR, you wouldn't even see it. And yet it would have a big impact in the alternative schools. And so at this time, I'm not going to support the motion.
Mr. Cashmore?
I take exception to that, Tim. You said the board decided at a work session. We're not permitted to take action at a work session. So, no, we didn't have a discussion where we made any action decisions. We had discussions, and that's all.
And that's correct.
And I'll agree, Joe. What I meant by that is we had consensus, and the consensus is you didn't move forward on it. If he wanted to bring it up and that, but we've had board work session on the budget, had discussions, we go by a lot of consensus just from people moving. That's how our administration moves forward. That's how you do it in your policy committee and a number of others. So I apologize that I said there was a vote, but the board did give its consensus and have a number of discussions, and that's how we put the whole budget together. That's how things get moved. And then if a motion needs to be moved, it comes to the floor. And your amendment is in order. I said I'm not going to support it. So I apologize you took offense to my saying we took a
all right,
vote.
All right, all right. Everybody take a deep breath. Mr. Elk.
Yes, I will not be supporting this amendment either. The alternative schools are for high-risk students. It's not just about credit recovery. It's about life recovery. And think, keep in mind of the demographic that these, most of these students that go to these schools is they don't have parents that are going to come down here and advocate for them. They're not going to advocate for the teacher-student ratio at this school. That's our job. So for that reason, I am not supporting this.
Thank you, Mr. Oak. Ms. Butler.
Yes, and as you know, I wasn't at the work session meeting today, and this is something new to me because I just received it recently. I will not support this because until I know more, I really support our alternative schools because it's a different way of teaching. It's a different way of bringing students into the fold, and it's a different way to change a student's life around by giving them the skills that they need when they leave the alternative school. So I really like the fact that we have alternative schools. I would much rather have students there than have nowhere to go, and I think they're getting a good education there. If we need to look at it, I'd like to look at it clearly and see every facet and then make a decision. I cannot support this tonight, but I appreciate looking at different viewpoints.
Thank you, Ms. Wadner. Mr. Kelly?
Yeah, I can appreciate the intent of all the amendments that are going to come forward from Board Member Castlemore, but I don't support this one, and I'm not going to be supporting any of them tonight because I think we're at the first step of the process of putting forward a budget basically so that we can request maximum funding from the borough. We have big changes coming forward, and I believe that the discussion for all of these amendments need to take place with the broader discussion when we end up with some final numbers, because I think that there's going to be larger things to tackle, and these can be wrapped into that, and we can deal with them at a later time.
Thank you, Mr. Kelly. Further discussion? Ms. Olin?
I, too, understand where Dan's coming from, and I'm just not ready to do this tonight. I know where everybody else is coming from, too. I support the alternative schools. I support all our students. But I just don't think we're quite at the point where we have to do this yet.
Ms. Castmore?
So just my final comment, then. You know, I'm so frustrated that we keep talking about this isn't the time to do it when I did this last year, and everybody up here told me it wasn't the right time to do it. So this year I brought it up at budget work sessions, and then I brought it up and told everybody I was going to do it, and then I sent emails to get the information, and here we are again. We're sitting here again saying, well, this isn't the right time to do it. Well, would somebody please tell me when the right time is to have these discussions? Because I don't feel like we have them. I feel like we go on and we pass the budget today, and then we just move on down the road, and we don't ever have these discussions because we've already voted on it. So I'm very frustrated by that. The other thing that I want to say is, this is not an attack on alternative schools. This is the fact that we have seen a decline in enrollment in a building. That's a fact. It was a fact that was brought to us by our own administration, and they have made suggestions that there are staffing there that may not need to be there. So I want to know how low the number is going to need to be before we look at staffing cuts there. If we have 7 students go to Kenai Alternative, is that enough? What about 12? I mean, why do my students at other buildings have to have less funding so that we can maintain this program, which has an FTE assigned to it, seemingly arbitrarily? There's not a formula that we put in place. At the time, we selected what we thought was appropriate with the understanding that if it ever was inappropriate, the administration would come and tell us. They came and told us. We've done nothing. So I'll stop my discussion now.
Ms. Hall?
I just wanted to apologize, Dan. I didn't mean this wasn't the right time for you to bring it up. I meant it wasn't the right time for me to vote yes on it. Sorry.
Mr. DeBar?
Thank you. One of the reasons that I didn't support it earlier, even though the administration brought a number of recommendations to it, in case you didn't know, I don't always agree with the administration. We've had a priority here at the school board to bring our graduation rates up. And I can tell you, if we start abandoning the alternative schools, our graduation rates
we won't be successful in that. And that's a board goal that we set for all the time I've been on this board, and that's been for 8 years now. And that's one of the reasons why some of us might vote differently. There's a number of factors. I could go through the budget and find all kinds of things and say 5% here and 10% here because all that little stuff adds up. I'm willing to address all of these things. There's policy that we have in our that we operate off of, and some of these things are set in policy. Those things could come up and be debated on the floor in policy. Just because the policy committee didn't agree with some of them does not mean a board member can't bring that policy forward and have it voted on by the full board. Those are the type of things I've made suggestions to other board members before when they want to bring something, is to do it in that manner, and then we can address it through the policy and have real discussions. And so all of these amendments that Dan might bring up tonight or that he's made people aware of are exactly that. I think we need to, all of them are on the board at any point, but there's a process that they can go through with that that'll be better understanding that you don't make a mistake in the budget as you move forward. And I can tell you, I wasn't in here in the 80s where some people were when they were really having to cut some of the budgets and make some, and when our area cost differential wasn't funded by the state at the correct level. But I can tell you that these cuts are tough on all of us. And we've heard it from the public. We've heard it from some of the schools in our district, what some of the current cuts that we're talking about. And we're fighting to try to save that at the state level and ask the borough to save us at the borough level so that we can not make these cuts, that we won't have to go back and put alternative school back in if that was one of them we cut, or the PTR at the high school and the other. And so, again, I just can't support this amendment at this time. Thank you.
Trying to decide if I want to comment or not, and it's more cumbersome to comment from here because I have to pass the gavel and my vice president is in on the thing. I guess I could put the gavel on top of the phone. And who is that?
Mr. Holt. Do you want to go to Mr.
Holt? Are you the clerk?
Yeah.
You are. Okay, I'm going to take just a minute. You don't get to hammer the hammer every time. I hear a lot of misinformation on this subject, and I just want to take a minute and clear some of that up. I hope, maybe. In 2002, when this policy was written, and I know this because I wrote it, and yes, I know that there are those who feel like, therefore, it's my pet project, and that's why it's stood as long as it has. And in point of fact, I disagree. The reason that it was put into policy that these facilities, these programs, would be staffed differently than schools related directly to the way that we staff our schools and the way that we estimate what the student bodies are going to be in our schools, because it's pretty easy in Kenai High School to take this year's enrollment, subtract out the graduating seniors, add in the eighth graders coming in from Kenai Middle School, and you have a new enrollment, and then you staff based upon that. These programs, unfortunately, have no identified feeder schools, nor do they necessarily have the luxury of saying, yeah, everybody who's a senior is going to graduate this year. So it was very hard to estimate what the student body was going to be the following year. And so it was always a bit of an arm wrestling contest to determine how many teachers goes into a building like that each year. And frankly, I guess I was a bit of a champion for these programs. I still am. And I knew that I was going to go off the board for a while, which I did. But prior to doing that, I wanted to set it up where you didn't have to have that argument every year. It was just established that this was what was going to happen. Now, if Kenai Alternative, as an example, has an enrollment of 100, that's very close to what the PTR looks like in any of our high schools. If it gets down to 70, yeah, that's a more advantageous PTR. But it's not like it's a huge difference. And given the nature of the facility, I think it's one that can easily be defended. The numbers are going to vary up and down. And Mr. Reese's point that if, in fact, the PTR at the high schools is going to be increased, that is going to put more pressure on those alternative programs because teachers aren't going to have as much time to personally care for kids. Hence, the alternative programs become more important. I will assure you, if the moment comes along where, in fact, alternative programs need to be reduced the same as high school programs or secondary programs, I will support that. Last year when administration proposed it, I felt it was not necessary and shouldn't have happened. And I feel the same way this way, and we'll vote that way. So I just wanted to throw in a little bit of history, and I heard the conversations about where did the number come from and all that. It was established several years ago, and it's about 15 years ago now, and the Kenai alternative at that time was running between 90 and 105 students pretty routinely, and that's why it was established the way it was. And I really would hesitate to start monkeying with that number on an annual basis, because then it's in the opposite position where it's getting changed every year, where other schools, their PTRs are at least they can determine what they're going to be. And now they don't have to monkey with them. And, yeah, I'm just as happy that they don't. That's it. That's it. Thank you. Great job, Mr. Holt. Thank you. Further discussion? Seeing none, Mrs. Stresser, would you call the roll, please? Mr. Dusick.
No.
You want it called out loud? Or you want to?
No, I'm sorry.
Okay. Voting's open. Everyone's voted.
Everyone has? Mm-hmm. Anyone wish to change their vote? Seeing no one, go ahead. The motion fails. Ms. Gessmore, do you have?
I certainly do.
Okay.
So, number two. I'm not sure if this is the same number you have as number two, Debbie, so I apologize if it's not. I move to amend the FY18 budget by reducing expenses for school board member insurance by $81,112 and directing these funds to reducing the overall pupil-to-teacher ratio.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Thank you, Ms. Holm. Discussion? Ms. Gassmer,
if I may. I've now been on the board for 4 years, and in that 4 years I've been upset about this item. And given the recent contract negotiations and the way they went, I'm even more upset about it. I attempted to bring this up in policy committee after last year. When I brought it up at the budget hearing, I was told this is not the place. We have to talk about it in policy first. So I brought it up in policy, and there was no desire to discuss it in policy. So now we are here again a year later, and the public may not be aware, but if you are a member of the school board, you are entitled to the insurance benefits that are also granted to all of our employees, except for any new employee who's hired that's less than 30 hours a week. They no longer qualify given the new contract we just passed. So this year, the cost of this district was $80,112, which is probably 8/10 of a full-time teacher. So we're going to cut the PTR. We're going to cut teachers in this district while continuing to give ourselves a benefit that works out to $20,778 each, which I find absolutely appalling. I find it even more appalling when we just negotiated a contract with our own employees that said, if you don't work at least 30 hours a week, you can't have insurance. But apparently the board, who attends one or two meetings a month, it's perfectly reasonable. So that's all I have to say.
Thank you, Ms. Castmore. Anyone else? Seeing no one, Mrs. Truster, would you post the vote, please, Mr. Dusick?
No.
Everyone's voted.
Anyone wish to change their vote? Go ahead.
There you go.
Motion or amendment fails. Ms. Castmore?
I move to amend the budget, the FY18 budget, by increasing the revenue from charter schools by a total of $15,696, by increasing the amount paid in rent by 2% to all charter schools, and directing these funds to reducing the overall pupil-to-teacher ratio.
Second.
Thank you, Ms. Holman. Discussion?
A year or two ago, we signed agreements with, I believe it was Razdolmer or Vosnesenka Village Corporation to rent a facility from them. In that contract, this board agreed that 2% increase in rent every single year, year over year, was appropriate. I'm simply asking that we apply the same policy to our own charter schools, whom we charge rent. My child attends a charter school in Kenai. This directly affects my child, and yet I still believe it's the correct thing to do for us. If we're going to charge rent to our charter schools, that it needs to be adjusted for inflation and market changes, and in the last 2 years we haven't done that. And it's an extremely small amount. $15,000, I understand, is not it's not going to save our budget, but it is $16,000, and it's a relatively small amount to each of the charter schools.
Thank you, Mr. Castmore. Further discussion? Mr. Navarro?
Thank you. I'll be speaking against the motion. I don't know if this even information went out to the charter schools. I realize it's a small amount. Just like us, we don't like to have the state surprise us at the last minute when they've put their budget together. I think we need to, we have a charter school committee, we have the opportunity, they come in and talk to the school board, we have other opportunities, so I just can't support this at this time, even this small amount. It's not going to make the difference in, I mean, we have more issues dealing with the state at $4 and $5 million deficit, than us creating animosity in our own district on how we treat our charter schools and that. So I would rather be open and talk to them and make sure they understand, have discussion with them on how best to set up a process for the future so that they're not surprised, and yet there can be some increases. And, again, we'll get more information if we have the overall discussion on it. Tonight here at a budget session to bring it up, I have a number of questions associated with what it really means and what it means for the future and all of those things. And I'm also aware that no matter how you look at it, there's not equity across the board. There's some of our charter schools that have to lease from a separate entity besides the school district, and they have those type of ups and downs and things like that in our district, at least us as the landlord to them. I want to treat them as fairly and openly as I possibly can, and so I'd rather have that discussion with them. As Dan stated himself, this isn't a lot of money, so I'd rather keep the relationship that we've built open and that they know we'll listen and they can come to us. So, thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Barr. Mr. Castmore.
I just want to say it one more time. I would love for someone to tell me when to bring these things up that's early enough, because I brought it up as soon as the budget came out. I told everybody up here I was going to make this amendment. I gave the administration time to do their paperwork, and here we are once again. Do I need to make my amendments for next year's budget now so we have time to talk about it? It's ridiculous.
Well, in point of fact, just to make the observation, there's nothing wrong with you making these amendments at this time. That doesn't necessarily induce us to vote for them.
That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying if you're going to comment that you don't have enough information to make a decision, that's fine. I would like some guidance on how I can possibly make it possible for you to have that information. So okay. Next time we have these discussions.
And I appreciated the fact that we saw the email in advance and some breakdown administratively of what the costs were. Further discussion? Seeing none, Mrs. Stressler? Yes, Ms.
Yes,
Bodley.
I'd like to comment on this, and I see where Dan's coming from, and I understand that these are or could be potential cuts at some time, and I don't feel at this point that I have enough information, and I apologize, Dan. However, I think it would be good for us to have some sort of a brainstorm session where we could look at different types of scenarios for the future. At a time prior to, if it can't be brought up at policy and it can't be brought up here or there, I understand the frustration. So if we had some sort of a brainstorm session, and I know we have them regularly, but maybe on these specific topics about the budget, and we could listen to the scenarios and actually talk about it when we had more time in a retreat or in whatever we would like, however we want to do it, then I think that would be something that I could agree to. Because I feel like I don't have all the information, I see some of the reasoning, I actually do, but I'd like to have more information and actually have a time when we can actually really talk about these things. So while I won't support these tonight, I actually have to say I am in agreement to some degree with Dan about when do we talk about some things some of the time.
Thank you, Ms. Lava. Further discussion?
Yeah, if I could.
Go ahead, Dan.
I mean, okay. I believe that there is a level of merit to every single one of these amendments. And I understand the frustration that Castmore has with when do we actually bring these up? When do we start the discussion? I also believe that that discussion will happen very soon. Within and before the final approval of the fiscal year 18 budget. I'd like to convey that, you know, we activated the finance committee again, and it's going to be time to tackle some of this. You know, the Senate just hit us with $5,200,000 that we've got to fill or figure out what we're going to do with. So, we will be discussing these, and I hope that he brings these and more ideas to the table. He is a member of the Finance Committee, and I think we should vet this stuff out and tackle when we get closer to our final numbers just how we're going to close this budget gap.
Thank you, Mr. Kelly. Further discussion? Mrs. Stressler, would you post the vote, please? Mr. Dusick.
No.
Voting's open. Everyone's voted.
Anyone wish to change their vote? Go ahead and tally it. Motion is not approved. Further discussion? Mr. DeCastamore.
Two more, then I'll be done. I move to amend the FY18 budget by reducing expenses to the general fund for extracurricular activities by $99,683 and directing these funds to reducing the overall pupil-to-teacher ratio.
Is there a second? Seeing or hearing no second, the amendment dies for lack of second. Mr. Castmore.
Last one. I move to amend the FY18 budget by reducing general fund expenses by $171,796 by closing the Skyview swimming pool and directing these funds to reducing the overall pupil-to-teacher ratio.
Do I hear a second? Seeing or hearing no second, the amendment dies for lack of a second. Further discussion regarding the FY18 preliminary general fund budget. I want to identify this. That is scenario B as presented to us this afternoon. Correct? Okay. No further discussion. Mr. Trestler, would you please post the vote? Mr. Dusick.
Yes.
Voting is open. Everyone's voted.
Anyone wish to change their vote? Go ahead and tally it. Motion is approved. Seven yes, one nay. All right, we're on to item 11C. It doesn't say anything. Authorship of a letter to the legislature by the school district. We should probably. Why don't you go ahead and make your motion, and then we'll open for public if anyone wishes to. How's that? Then they know what they're talking to, since there's no envelope, nothing on the back table.
Thank you. At this time, I'd move 11C, a letter to the legislature on education funding. If I get a second, then I'll give a short explanation for the public.
Second.
Thank you, Ms. Hall. Go ahead, Mr. Navarro.
Thank you. The intent of this letter is, as you stated, the information committee has been meeting all this legislative session, and there's two members down in Juneau as we speak on the phone at this school board meeting. There's real talk of a House bill that's in 57 that's in front of the Senate to actually move on a 5% cut to education. That would be a dramatic cut across this whole state, and it would be devastating to our district. And it's my intent for us to send a letter. We've commented and everything, but this will be a letter signed by the school board president and the superintendent on behalf of the whole school board, that education isn't a bargaining chip that we should be using to get concessions from one body to the other. It needs to stand on its own. They need to vote up or down on the different issues, whether it be revenue of income tax or other things, and be on the record for that. And just like I hope they'll do on education, and I think there is a majority of the legislature that supports education, and at least status quo. funding from last year the same. So with that, that's my intent of the letter. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Navar. Is there anyone in the public who wishes to comment to that sort of a motion?
Debbie Carey, I would absolutely support that, and I would ask you to include forward funding in that, if at all possible. Thank you.
Anyone else? Seeing no one, come back here for discussion of the board. Any other discussion?
Yes, I've got a question.
Go ahead.
Would the letter request a certain revenue source, like an income tax, or would it just request a diversified revenue plan?
Mr. Navar? I think that's for you.
It's more just tied at this point with funding education at the governor's recommendation, not the 5% cut. It's the 5% cut that's real that I really want us to respond to. I think it's their responsibility to find the revenues or the other cuts in the budget to balance out the state budget and to stop using their fund balance, which will run out, and then we'll have nothing to back up with. As you know or might not know, that even in capital projects, when we start looking at our schools, there's none of that anymore. No matching funds for roof repairs, school repairs, a number of things. And that's been going on for 3 years. You wait another 3 or 5 years with none of that happening, you're going to start having issues and more costs to school districts for maintaining their building just to keep them operating because of no major maintenance. I don't know what the answer is at the state, but Zen, to answer your question, I hope I'm okay if there's discussion here and to include other things. But my main point is just to reiterate what we've done all year is here's what the district needs and here's adequate funding and this is what our budget looks like, and we can show them just like with the Borough Assembly. We've been transparent with them. We show them if we don't get funding from the state and we don't get funding from the borough, these are the cuts. And just like we've seen, Nanilchik and other communities have come to us and said, those are hard cuts for us to accept. So, I don't know. All of us in the state have to work together to find the solution, but a 5% cut to education is not the answer.
Thank you, Mr. Barr. Further discussion? Mr. Hill.
Not a wordsmith, but somehow, some way to include in the letter, I don't want to say disdain, but refute the claim that public education is a failure, because that's their justification for doing this. And that needs to be included in the letter to say, you know, we dispute that claim. And here are the numbers we've been showing you all along. So if we could somehow drop that in there politely, I guess.
Thank you, Mr. Ilk. Mr. Dusick and I are going to be able to put our heads together, and we are going to whip up one epistle. That's the beginning of it. Yeah, I'm digging back in the vault. Go ahead.
Just a reminder, we do have in our legislative priorities the multi-revenue fiscal plan. So I think reemphasizing that along with some other details of suggestions, you know, we can clearly spell out what a 5% would mean. And I think, you know, we have shown results, and I think we can do it respectfully, but also be direct.
Ms. Castmore.
You know, my only concern with this is we have a limited amount of political capital with which to spend. I think we've already heard from Machicki and from a number of other people down there in Juneau that this 5% cut is probably not realistic. So I do worry that we're going to spend a bunch of energy on something that's not all that realistic to begin with. So
Ms. Hull?
And that goes along with my comment. I was going to say, or my suggestion, that we also address what a 2% cut does to us, because that is what Michiki thinks we're going to get.
Mr. Navar?
Again, I just want to, I'm not saying that the letter is stated that a 5% cut and anything under a 5% cut is okay. I'm saying the fact that they're making the amendment, that's what's out there. They're amending the House bill that's coming to them to cut education. The House bill that we currently have, we could live with. The House bill that they're talking about amending, and that's the concern that I have, is to not support the amendment to do it, and that in reference to the 5%, that's just use it as a tool, because they're using it as a tool supposedly as a bargaining chip with the other side. Ours isn't a bargaining chip. It's if you do 5% cut, those are the impacts, and any change to the current House bill is not acceptable to the school district.
Further discussion? I'm tempted to take a moment off because I'm not sure how I'm going to vote on this one. Mr. Castamore.
I think that if the position we're going to take is anything less than the House budget as proposed is unacceptable, then I will not be supporting this letter. Because I think we have to be willing to give something. I think continuously saying we can't afford to take any cut is unrealistic. I think it's disingenuous. So.
And I think I tend to agree with you on that. We're responding to this stuff all the time, and to focus everything into one letter like this, especially when we don't even know what the final argument is going to be. I'm hesitant about that. Further discussion? Juno, Ites, anyone?
Jip.
Yeah.
This is Penny. Yes, I tend to agree with you and Dan. I think that if we don't agree with the way the House has put it forth, that we need to diversify and finish the job that was started and look at a sustainable multiple-tiered revenue source, I think we have to be really careful how we put we can't keep saying no 5%, no 3% when we really don't know. I think it would be more important to spend some of our energy and with our effective communicators and let them know that they need to write and talk about the positives of education and what we're doing and the gains that we've made and how we've made these gains through the funding that has been given us, all the different staffing, all the different programs that we have made successes, because we're down here now, and they're saying, you know, we use, you know, so-and-so changed her whole format and how she wrote things in her documents based on what is in the materials that you brought down to us the last time. It's pretty powerful what we have out there, and I think that message has to be, they have to be reminded of the messages that are in the documents that we have. And so I think it's really, I don't know how to form the letter other than what we've already said, saying I don't know. So I probably won't support this letter.
And I'm Joe, you know, our narrative all along has been that even status quo is a cut to education, and that it's simply not acceptable. We have been, basically everything I have seen that Sean or Dave Jones has written has referenced the points that are brought up in this letter. They're hearing that already from us. This morning, we had Paul Seaman come and talk before we went to the Capitol. Walk the halls, and even Paul, who is the main charge behind House Bill 115, trying to push forward an income tax, is saying, you know, the House floated out that we should offer a cut to education in the bond debt reimbursement, and there was a groundswell of opposition. But this morning he said, you know, we've got to decide on something. We need to give something at some point in order to get this diversified revenue source. So based on the fact that I think this letter has already been written many times over, I probably won't support this tonight and just request that we continue to keep our narrative going and engage people in contacting their representatives and their senators. That's all.
Thank you, Mr. Kelly. Further discussion, Ms. Castamore.
I would just like to say that if we were talking about a letter that was demonstrating our absolute disgust at the fact that the legislature feels it's appropriate to use education funding as a pawn in this political battle, I don't think you'd find any objection from any of us up here.
Well, as you know, when I standard out this discussion, that's exactly what it was. The fact that I said at least the House bill is acceptable to us, and then all of a sudden it's like we don't come to the table with cuts. I think you're forgetting that over the last 3 years we've had to cut PTR in our classrooms each and every year. I take exception to the fact that education hasn't taken cuts. And I take exception to the fact that maybe education shouldn't take any cuts. We're talking about an educational system. If they could come into each of the budgets and said, you know, you need to cut this out. You need to cut all your sports facilities out or this or whatever the case might be. But when every district has gone through and when the state at every level hasn't passed a budget for a number of years till after we are statutorily required to provide a budget to the assembly to have approved. And essentially it's never technically balanced. We have to go back and balance it after the fact because even what the state funds us at impacts what the borough can fund us at legally. And we've even had to give money back in the past. So I don't care how we look at it, but for us not to stand up, and my only point in saying, you know, why would you make the argument that they're using education as a tool, as a pawn to cut 5% and say, well, maybe it'll only be 2%, as if 2% is okay. You've seen our budget. That's why I said we'll House Bill 57, yeah, we don't want to advocate for cuts. I suppose if there was something real or substantial, or if they gave us forward funding and a number of other things that we could rely on, maybe we could do it. But they haven't had that discussion with us. And like I said, I could have made the letter get into, as it was stated, Senator Seaton's income tax bill that reflects this and ties in and where the other revenue comes to balance the revenue stream for the state. Like I said, we still got major problems here. I'm willing to be part of the solution. I think the Education Challenge Committee that's going to be working in the next 7 months to really talk and to do things. But I think we're making a big mistake by not standing up for education, by not standing up for the kids that are in the classroom today. We've made that argument before. They don't get a second chance. They don't get a second chance to take the second grade or the third grade or the fourth grade or their senior year. They're out. And we need to stand up, and this state needs to step almost in our borough and at our state, the number one priority for them to even exist is education. And why we would be talking these kind of cuts and having us make a decision. But I'm willing to take out the part that we won't, we'll come to the table. I mean, it could say something like that. We're willing to work with the legislature to find a solution that works for everybody in the state that goes forward. But That's my whole point. I'm upset that they're using education as a pawn. And for them to say, oh, don't worry about 5%, it'll only be 2, as if they'll get everybody to go, oh, boy, that was close. They might as well have said 2%, and we'd be having the same letter going out saying 2% is not acceptable. So I'll end my comments, but I hope you support the letter. Thank you.
Further discussion, Ms. Hull.
I really think the letter is appropriate right now because the Senate finally has taken some action.
You think?
It's an appropriate time.
It is appropriate. Okay. I didn't know if you said inappropriate or appropriate. Just wanted to be clear. Further discussion.
Joe?
Yes.
Yes, this is Penny again. If I can reiterate, what we heard today was that it would be really important for each school board member to send an email down, to community members to send emails down, for somebody to talk about, put a public opinion message in, to write an editorial, a letter to the editor saying about the importance of education. We have brought down countless documents to them and handed them out, and it covers basically our stance pretty carefully. And I think if we can get additional information and maybe letters that we all send, like Sean sent 2 down within the last couple of weeks, actually 1 this last week, and so did Mr. Jones, I think it would be really valuable if many people sent letters down. But I think we should be really careful about saying, because I forget who said it today, and it's not important which representative said it, but they've been used to having 9 or 10 years of what some of them consider bashing, that they never support anything. And so that's the mindset. And so I think it would be really important to say, we know these are hard times. We know there's a lot of decisions to be made. But our one charge in this state is to support public education. And we've provided countless pieces of information to you in support of that. And we hope you'll do the right thing and fund education appropriately and expediently and come up with some type of a sustainable revenue so we don't have to be put in this position every single year. I would be more inclined to support some type of a suggestion like that than a single letter from the school superintendent and our board president. Thank you.
Thank you, Penny. Well, yeah, I have to admit I'm a little upset by the insinuation that somehow or another we have to, quote, stand up and let them know that we won't take this. We do that constantly. Sean is in touch constantly with legislators, as are members of the board, and I really don't think that, as I said earlier, I won't support writing this letter only because I think each of us can express our own thoughts to our legislators and do so in better than trying to make one omnibus letter for that purpose. Further discussion? Did somebody go away? Ms. Bodler, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
Mr. Kelly? I think Mr. Kelly left the building. Oh, there he's back. Okay. All right. Mrs. Tressler, would you post the vote, please? And Mr. Dusick?
Yes.
Voting's open. Everyone's voted.
Anyone wish to change their vote? Go ahead and tally it. Vote is 4 yes, 4 no. Well, that doesn't happen often. Tie vote is a no vote, so the motion is not approved. We'll move on to first reading of policy revisions. We have none for this evening. Public presentations and comments. This is an opportunity for anyone in the public who wishes to comment on any topic. Come on down.
I had to take notes as we went. Laura McGinnis, Daniel Tech School. First, I want to say thank you for funding the technology and taking us to the next level. When my now 17-year-old was 11, the first thing he asked Senator Murkowski when she came to our school was to please get us iPads. He's a student with a learning disability, and that made all the difference between learning to read and not learning to read. So technology is extremely important. That said, he's going for a science degree. To get into a school and become a marine biologist, he has got to have two present lab classes. He can't do online for his science labs. So as you, Mr. Inez, speak so eloquently to our alternative schools, our rural schools, our K-12 schools, could apply that exact same rationale. You have to look at those buildings just a little differently than we look at the other equations, because we can't guarantee how many students are being fed in. You need to give us just a little bit of time, and I know you've all been working really, really hard to make that happen. I'm just here to say thank you. We see that. We hear you. I've written our legislators. I've written our editor. I have written continually and said our children deserve an education. Most of you are of my same generation, and I don't know if your parents and grandparents were as strong an advocate as my grandmother was, but on her wall was a poster, and it was almost as big as that TV, and it was a jungle gym. And it said it will be a great day when our schools have all the education, the funding they need for education, and our military has to hold a bake sale to buy a bomber. And you guys are all working to make that happen. And I feel we truly have an obligation to our students and our children. My son's asking the exact same thing I asked as a child. Why don't the adults in our world care about our education? Because that's the message we're giving them when we cut their education funding. And so we need, as a community, to change that tone for this generation and future generations. They're the ones that are going to have to work hard to fund that education, invest in them now, and educate them to help them understand. You have an obligation to give back. I think that's the piece that we've been missing in teaching our kids. Don't just take the money. Know that you have to give it back later. And I think that's really important. Thank you all for your time.
Thank you, ma'am. Anyone else? Seeing no one, board comments. Let's start out in Juneau. Ms. Bodlin?
Yes, I would like to thank everybody who showed up tonight to the meeting, the librarians, and the presentations by John Podest and John O'Brien earlier this afternoon, the work session. I couldn't see the school presentations, but I could hear most of them. They sounded wonderful what I could hear. I wish I would have been there to see the presentations as well. And I appreciate everybody who helped us get ready for Juneau.
Is that you that went away, Paige? I assume it is, Mr. Kelly.
Yeah, well, I'm still here.
That's enough lady to get moved up in the line. Go ahead.
I guess so. I also want to say I appreciate Tim Webb. Is that, am I still here? Okay. Penny? No. Okay, well, and she's back. I want to thank, real quick, I want to thank Tim Whip and Laura Murphy. I just got to hear, not see, but they sounded like they did a great job on the Ketchumex Sealow Rizona School presentations. And, being down here in Juneau, walking in the Capitol halls and talking to people face-to-face, it sheds a whole new light on the battle that we have in front of us. So I think there's a lot of work to do. I'm glad to be on the team that I'm on. And I think we have an excellent administration and supportive administration that people here really respect. I'm looking forward to working with the other board members and coming to solutions for the issues that we face. And like I said, I think we've got a lot of work ahead of us. A lot of public input is going to be needed.
and it's time to really put on that full court press and rally the troops and get the word out that we do a great job, we deserve to be funded fully, that revenue, diversified revenue is needed because what we do is important and it costs money to do it. And that's it.
Thank you, Mr.
Joe, I'm back. If I can finish up, I'm sorry. I think I am tired and hung up on by mistake. I just wanted to thank the administration there, Sean, Dave, Peggy, for preparing us very well down here. Our information is well received, and like Zen, it is amazing walking the halls and meeting with the senators and the governor and so forth. And the positive comments we get about our school district and how we're a model. And I hope that they see that the work that we do and the work that many educators do all across the state and continue to provide the best education possible for this great state of Alaska. And I will leave it at that. Thank you. Have a good evening.
Thank you, Penny. Ms. Hull.
I just want to tell Mike that Charlie Brown's coming to Seward, too. We're doing the production. So come on over. On the support staff list, we're losing Cindy Eklund. She's been our one and only career coach. You know, and she's been a great asset, and it'll be a big loss for our high school. So I was disappointed. I'd heard she might resign. I was disappointed to see she did. I can't contain that I'm excited. I just got back from seeing all five of our granddaughters in one time in Seattle. That's not usual. They were in Baltimore and Minnesota. But they've all moved to Seattle. It's going to be hard not to go down there more often. I loved all the videos tonight and the school reports. We had some really good work sessions, Project Grad, some really good, learned a lot of things tonight. And I wanted to say we've had, in my 26 years in Seward, involved with Seward Schools, we've had great librarians. And Julie Bepkin has been a great addition to that, to our school and our community, and I appreciate she drove all the way over. I know what that drive's like. And I hope everybody had a great April Fool's Day, and I'll have a good Easter.
Mr. Ilg.
I have a few comments. Firstly, I want to thank the librarians for their presentation tonight. They worked very, very hard. I also, in addition to congratulating Nanochik for winning the second title in a row, congratulate their coach, Nick Finley. I know Nick, and he worked very, very hard with these young men, and so I want him to be acknowledged. I also want to acknowledge and thank Dan Castamore's budget amendment. Echoing what many other people said, it's maybe now is not right the time, but could be very soon. And I think we all need to be thinking along the lines what Dan is proposing, to think outside the box and look at where we can cut, and hopefully we don't have to. Other things I want to mention, the Alaska School Activities Association will be hosting a board meeting in Nikolaevis and Homer April 22nd and April 23rd. I volunteered to assist to help host that event as far as coming up with some activities and things to do, and there's plenty to do in Homer. I also want to mention a very important thing. One of our students is battling a very rare bone cancer, and he is now residing in Seattle seeking treatment, and there's major, major fundraisers to help him. His name is Hoxie Parks, and you can GoFundMe. You can go to the site, GoFundMe, help Hoxie Parks fight cancer and make a donation. I encourage you to do that. Lastly, there are three people who are resigning from the school district. Kim Johnson from Chapman Elementary School, a compassionate, caring educator. She's moving out of state. Wonderful person. Monica Stockberger, Homer High School special ed teacher. Another compassionate, caring teacher. too bad we're losing her. And lastly, Lori Martin. Lori Martin, I believe, has 30 years of teaching, and she's my daughter's second grade teacher. And she is a very easygoing, quiet, caring instructor who has changed so many lives, doesn't like the limelight, but again, this is an opportunity for me to say thank you, Lori Martin, for all you've done for the kids over the years. And that's it.
Thank you, Mike. Mr. Gastemore.
Well, I appreciate everyone's patience with me this evening. I know it's not ever fun to be dealing with that one crazy person in the room who wants to do a bunch of stuff that nobody else wants to do. I will say that I'm disappointed that we've once again, in my opinion, decided to prioritize athletics and public recreation over teachers in the classroom. I find it upsetting that we continue down the same path where every year we cut teachers, but we don't look at any of the other things. And I don't understand how we can possibly get there, that we think that we need to continue to fund extracurriculars the same we've been funding it for years and years, and we can cut 7.5 teachers and out of the high schools and 5 more unallocated and 9 ELL people. I don't know how we do that in the same breath. In the future, I'm going to continue to advocate for these changes and for other changes that place a priority on students in the classrooms. And, you know, I think it's clear to me that in the future I'll just need to reach out to the public to help advocate for the changes that I want. So thank you very much.
Mr. Holt.
No comments tonight. Thank you.
Mr. Navarre.
I think I'm getting like a lot of people are in this country, that the way the system has changed, and I'm glad the school board has discussions and doesn't bargain back and forth and trade this for that to get, you know, we go right to the assembly and say, here's our budget, here's what we're funding, here's what we're going to try to do. But I'm just glad that we still have the kind of public support. That's how I know education is still number one out there, even in the country. Our school district, not only through sports, through scholarships, through everything else, it wasn't through personal people giving donations, to companies giving donations, to governments giving donations to our city or to our borough school district, we wouldn't be where we are today. I also know that we aren't going to get there by just telling the kids to come in and this is all you get. And you don't get to, I heard it, explanations before, you don't punish the kids if they go out for recess and they go out for this. You know, I mean, we've already looked at it. I mean, you're trying to give them a well-rounded education so they can handle society. And, you saw Joe and me watching the basketball game tonight. You know, sports is something that affects a certain number of the school population. Music affects a certain group of the population, whether they play band or they use their voice. There's people that do art. You know, they come in and they're just amazing at it. You take any of those things away from any of those kids, and you take away part of their growing and their experience that makes them learn and educate. And that's why you can't fit education into one little neat box and say, there you go. And I'm glad we had the debate today. I'll make my arguments just as strong and we'll make a difference in our communities and in our kids' lives, and that's what it's about. So thank you and good night.
Thank you, Mr. Navarre. Mr. Dusick.
Thanks to Kitchelak, Salo, and Razdolna for presenting. That was great. Thanks to librarians for coming, too. Ms. Ware and Ms. Baldwin, both librarians I have had or currently have. Student Voice met last weekend. We mostly talked about the graduation plan again. And thanks to Peggy for coming in on Skype. That's definitely a cool program that I'm glad that we get to use. It is really easy to use, so it's super convenient. I'm also sorry if I seem a little tired. We did have a problem last on Saturday, so still like went to bed at 6:30 last night. So I'm like, oh, I'm trying to stay awake now, but so that is why I missed that earlier. This does in quite a bit, so thank you.
Joe, could I make just real quick, because I wanted to let Brian give him a little notice. I plan on bringing up an amendment or a motion next meeting that doesn't allow our seniors to graduate, because then our enrollment will stay up, and that will solve some of our problem. Maybe if you could do a numbers, Mr.
Jones,
on what that would bring in for dollars into the district, that would be helpful.
You don't really care, do you? Okay, we beat everything to death. I've had enough. Two observations. Phyllis Halstead is retiring this year. That will solve the question of Kenai Alternative for once and for all, because we'll just have to lock the doors after she's gone. I've watched Phyllis over the years train principals one by one by one in that operation, and she's a special one. If you would, please notify me when that retirement soiree is going to happen. Second thing, Mr. Navarre talked about, Mr. Dusick talked about the Young Americans. That was a spectacular program. I spoke with the director of the Young American group that was here, which is not the director of the whole Young Americans, but about the idea of having them come back and maybe loop through the whole district, do a stop in Kenai, Solbatna, Homer, and Seward. The things that they did with third, fourth, and fifth graders was truly unbelievable. And we may or may not, that's the imperial eye, right? I may or may not be back with a proposal for the board, because it did not end up costing Mountain View anything, but it did require some fundraising and basically some participant fees for the kids who participated, and the school chose to raise all of those rather than the kids themselves. And so it costs money, but the participant fees plus the gate at the performance covered what it cost. So, pardon me? Yeah, well, yeah, with the new facility use charges, we could really make some serious money here, except it's a school function, so we don't charge. So, anyhow, you may or may not be hearing more about this issue in the coming months, and I have asked. There was not an official video taken of it, but I have asked Ms. Kircher to kind of gather up from people who were there, parents who were filming on their cameras or whatever, see if we can't get some videos of it, because it was truly a special evening. So, beyond that, I think our business here is done. We are adjourned.